My mom told me not to talk to strangers on the internet, but I'm glad I didn't listen. We are the Certified Nunas, your sisters in the love of Asian entertainment.
I am Amanda.
And I'm Natalia. And that's it. It's just the two of us this week. Sky is literally moving into a new house this month, so you may not see a lot of her. And Jesse, her, like, had, like, a schedule thing come up. So, like, it's just us. It's just the two of us. We're just going to hang out. And I think next week might also just be the two of us. So, you know what? It's all good. You're going to hang out with the Canadians for the next couple weeks. It's all fine. Something that we do on this podcast, often, I would say, like, we do it, like, every, at least, like, every third month at the most, right?
At least, yeah.
It's like, there's a new show that comes out, and something about the show intrigues us. It interests us when we hear about it. And so we do a thing where we watch the first two episodes. Sometimes it's the first four episodes, depending on scheduling, but this week it's the first two, and we then talk about the first two episodes, what the show's presenting us, and then decide, you know, chat about what we liked and stuff after watching it, and decide if we're going to keep watching it. And that's the whole premise of what we're doing. And this month, a new show called Frankly Speaking has started airing on Netflix. And it has one big factor in it that I think really made us interested in watching it. And that is that it stars the man, the myth, the legend, Go Kyung-pyo, one of our faves over here. Well, at least with the Canadians over here.
Yeah.
The Nunas.
He is one third of two of my favorite K-drama thruples. Like, I mean, he knows how to sell you on a second lead like nobody's business. Because he loves the lady and he loves the man. Like, you believe it. You believe it all the way around.
But not this time. He's not the second lead this time. He's not always the second lead. Like, I loved him.
No, he's not.
I loved him in Strongest Delivery Man.
Oh, Strongest Delivery
Man. Love Strongest Delivery Man. If you haven't seen Strongest Delivery Man, you should check it out. You know, it's a good show. You know, you and I should do like a Strongest Delivery Man episode.
I should rewatch that.
We're getting off traffic because we got to talk about the new show. But in the show, he is the male lead. And I would like to tell you about what the show is about. What the first two episodes of the show have presented us as the plot. So, Go Kyung-pyo's character is a single man in his 30s who is very mild-mannered and very professional at work, and his job is that he's a news announcer, like, for, like, the afternoon news at a broadcasting station. But he wants to be the head anchor of, like, the primetime nightly news, because that's, like, the big talk. But, and he's been slowly, like, working his way towards that goal by being polite and amenable and doing whatever anyone asks him and always being the most professional person on a set. He prides himself on his professionalism and being taken seriously. This is very strong at the beginning. Then a series of events happen that really, like, put him on his edge. So, first off, his co-worker on the afternoon news gets caught having an affair with an athlete, and the husband shows up and on air, like, throws a fit, and for some reason is attacking Go Kyung-pyo's character just because he's like, please don't do this, sir, we're in the middle of the news, please, sir, don't do this. But of course, like, he's really angry and so takes it out on this guy who had arguably nothing to do with anything happening. So he then becomes a bit of a meme because, of course, he does, like, for trying to, like, keep the news going but getting manhandled by this guy. And then later, well, after this, he just wants to go home and is having stomach trouble and gets stuck in an elevator with our female lead, who is played by the ever delightful Kang Hana. She's always so cute. She is just
so cute.
Very cute. Who's the head writer of a variety show. He then has a very unfortunate situation with gastronomical situation, you know, like, listen. And then embarrasses himself in front of her and is like, you know what? I'm never going to see her again. It's fine. But she needs a new guest on her show. And him, trying to claw his way back towards this goal, agrees to be on her show, sort of against his will. Where at the show, there is an idol who's like a member of this show, which is like a sports sort of like playing games together, wacky sports thing, who's like really nice to his fans on the outside and has like a demeanor of being really kind and sweet, but it's just a total piece of shit to like the staff and everything. Yeah. And he witnesses this. And then the game they're playing is dodgeball, and he doesn't take that personally, and just, like, continuously tries to just slam the shit out of this idol's face with the dodgeball, because he's like, this guy's a piece of shit, and someone should do something about it. So the head writer then takes him aside and is like, please, please stop nailing this idol in the face with a dodgeball. Like, please. Like, in, like, a utility closet. Like, begging him and, like, you know, chastising him. And then he accidentally gets electrocuted. So,
indeed.
And after that, can't stop saying whatever's on his mind. Which is usually unpleasant things. And then that basically now then ruins his whole career very quickly. Everything. Within two episodes, just him being unable to not say whatever comes on his mind. And that's basically the show presented. And then she feels bad because she knows she's kind of responsible for it, has elected to help him. There's another little plot about her ex, who is now like a popular trot personality who the Azumas love. I think we all know who he might be being modeled after, but that's either here nor there. And who wants to be on her show to get back with her, but she's like, leave me alone. So those are basically the first two episodes. Now, there's also a doctor. Listen, as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, third male lead for sure. Because he's played by, oh god, what is his name? My mind is blank.
Oh, he
Kwan Yul.
He was evil in something, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Every time I see him, I think, oh, he's going to be a serial killer.
Yeah,
right?
He was because of Let's Fight Ghost. Work. Let's Fight Ghost. It was Let's Fight Ghost. Yeah. But he's only in the first three episodes, according to MDL, so he's probably just like there. But anyway, I always love seeing him.
Yeah,
he's a good actor.
Yeah, he is.
Anyway, those are like the basic show presented. But I gotta say, in the first two episodes, there's a couple things that I really, really enjoyed. One, they don't pretend that him suddenly getting this, you know, liar disease is just some sort of mystical event. They're like, no, you actually have brain damage from the accident that happened to you.
Yeah.
Like, they give it, like, actual,
they
like,
give it a reason.
It's not just like, ooh, mystical, struck by lightning. Like, no, like, he was electrocuted and got brain damage from the electrocution. And so this is, like, early onset dementia, which is actually incredibly tragic, like, when you think about it. I don't know if you're going to continue with that, but I think that would actually be a very interesting twist for something like this. Because obviously if this was like an ongoing thing, but it wouldn't be getting worse over time since it was like artificially created. Yeah. It wasn't like actual dementia. Obviously you couldn't be an announcer, but you'd actually do very well in the variety sphere.
Very open.
Open
the right shows for sure.
The other thing I really liked is the cast. And specifically they have Patricia on the cast. If you're unfamiliar with Patricia, she is an actress who originally is Congolese, so she's from the Congo, And she's delightful. She shows up on variety shows a lot. She was on Zombieverse, like the half variety, half script show. It's a very bizarre sort of show.
Yeah.
And she's absolutely delightful. And then they have her foiled against actor Lee Min-gu as like the two underwriters that work with the main female lead. And they're absolutely delightful together.
They're so fun together. Yeah. Like, their characters are just great. Mm. And it's nice to see color.
We love Asian dramas, but they don't tend to be the most diverse, mostly because the countries they're made in are not particularly diverse.
Exactly.
So it is nice.
But it is nice when somebody shows up, when Sam shows up on a show, just nice.
It's nice to
see people show up.
I also really enjoyed sort of Go Kyung Pyo's character, mostly because you see him internalize the show is very good at showing you how he internalizes everything happening to him and tries not to be fazed by everything, despite the fact that he's constantly being like undermined by everyone around him who clearly do not respect him. No one in his life respects him except for maybe his one best friend who's like a mascot on a kid's TV show. So it's really interesting to see like sort of like a personality from that point of view. Like, so it really sort of grounds him in a really like office politics, but like in a heightened sort of way, because this is strong on the comedy.
It is. But like, okay, so going into this, I didn't think I would like it as much as I do.
Mm.
I thought because the promos and the concept and everything seems very, very super silly, right? Like it's going to be very, very silly. And you can't help but draw connections to Jim Carrey, who is always very over the top, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that Liar Liar, he's kind of a douchebag.
Yeah.
Like he's a douche who has to learn to tell the truth, like learn to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the character that we're getting here.
No.
He's a good person who is kind of too good. He's too wimpy. Like, he's a sad sack. Like,
yeah, he never stands up.
Sack. He just
He doesn't stand up for himself. He doesn't ever, like, speak up. He doesn't, you know. But
so
you can tell that he's actually a good person, like,
right.
Inside.
So, like, I was concerned that we were going to go into this and it was going to be this big slapstick thing about a guy who lies all the time to get the women, to get the job, to get the, you know, he's a big liar who has to now tell the truth. And it's not that. He is a big not truther.
Yeah.
You know, he never speaks.
He's an omitter.
He stands up for himself.
He
lets people believe things about him if it's what they want to believe about him, because if it serves his purpose. I'm not going to make out that he's all,
like a lot of it is very selfishly motivated, because it's, you know, a lot of it is very self-serving, but like he doesn't start rumors about himself.
No.
And he's not rude to people, and he's not mean to people, and he's not callous or cruel, which is, listen, our bar for male leads on these K-drama rom-coms is so low. We're like, listen, he's nice to women. Like, he's not sexist. He's not mean. He does not full of himself. Like, you know. And I think,
like, there's a scene where the female lead is, like, super drunk. He, A, doesn't take advantage of that, and B, make sure she gets home.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's
just
worried.
Like, I guess I have to sit here.
Yeah, and is worried that she gets home and is very thankful when he finds out that the police he called did take her home and everything was fine.
Yeah. Like, he's just a pretty decent person.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's nice. I like it. Like, yeah, it's easy to root for him because I think for me in particular, and I think for a lot of people, he's much more relatable that way.
Yeah.
Most of us are not like psychopathic, you know,
no.
liars.
But
a lot of us don't always say what we want to say.
Like, the domineering CEO is a fun trope, okay? Like, you can have fun with it, but that is not what is happening here. Like, the you know, incorrigible rake who gets, like, tamed by... No, that's fun, okay? That is fun. But that's not what's happening here. This is just a regular guy who's struggling with authenticity of self in the aims of his career, who then has authenticity of self thrust upon him by brain damage, which is such, like, oh, sure. Like,
wild.
I also really like how they presented his relationship with his family, because I feel like that was very realistic when there's one member of a family who's very successful.
Yeah.
And the other members of the family, both, there's like a mixture of, they rely on him completely for their, like, financial well-being, because he pays for their house and their bills and everything. But also there's a sense that they resent him because they rely on him completely, because none of them are successful. And so there's like one scene in episode 2 when everything goes wrong for him. So he, like, runs away to go home. And even when he's at home, they're all just like harassing him, but, like, not openly harassing. Well, one of his brothers just is openly hostile to him. So you can sense there's a lot of envy there, a lot of, like, dislike. But, like, the other, like, the mother and the other brother are both very concerned, like, oh, we gotta be nice to him. And at first it seems like, oh, because, like, they're just very concerned about everything happening to him. But then you find out it's because they need money from him. And I feel like that's, like, a really realistic situation for, like, someone in his situation where he is the only successful member of a family.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem like he actually resents giving his family money. It's just everyone at work thinks he comes from a rich family, which is why it's fine that he does all this, you know. But I feel like that's going to become a big plot point as...
Yeah.
Like, his relationship with his family, because right now, very much so parasitic sort of situation happening between them.
And very traumatic. Like, there's clearly family trauma there. There's stuff that's going on. And this is all going to, clearly that's the point.
Yeah.
He's going to come out, our hero is going to come out on the other end, able to speak his piece and with better relationships with the people around him, right?
Yeah.
And that's clearly where we're heading with this. So, and it's only 12 episodes, so that's
can nice. Do it a little quicker than 16,
You know, so I found what I'm finding and is the vibe for it, because it is marketed very silly.
Mm-hmm.
It comes across very, like, I mean, the comedic bits are very funny.
Like, Gokyung Pyo, what you gotta say about Gokyung Pyo is he has had perfect comedic timing since his debut. Like,
facial expression, like,
it's perfect. It's like the perfect amount of over the top with, like, the way that he does, like, his comedic, like, beats is just right at the level of over the top without it being too much, that it's, like, it's still enjoyable without you being like, okay. Like, you know, obviously with something like comedy, like, certain types of comedy people don't like. Like, obviously, like, oh, him having, you know, gastro problems in the elevator is, you know, like, it's a very juvenile sort of humor, but people like to pretend that's a, like, K-drama specific thing. No. It's not. Like, that's everywhere. And it was a very short scene. It wasn't, you know, they didn't drag it on forever. But that's just a classic in these sorts of things. So it's like, you can just listen. If you don't like that sort of thing, just fast forward for 30 seconds. That's all it lasts. Like,
yeah, it's not really crucial to the main plot.
It's just to make their meeting as awkward as possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think, for me, watching it, with all of that humor and stuff, but there's, like, a tragic sort of core to it. It reminds me, vibe-wise, of be melodramatic,
mm.
where it was marketed as very silly. It's very, very funny. But when you actually start watching it, you're like, whoa, there is a really, really deep, tragic core to this mm-hmm. story. And it kind of makes the comedy more realistic,
yeah.
in a sense, because stupid, funny things happen in real life. They do happen. Usually not this many of them all yeah. at once to the same people, but those sorts of things do happen. And when you base it and ground it in something that feels real, like his character being so just messy in his heart, you know, like with the struggles and the tragedy, like it's not like he's not an orphan, he's not, you know, like it's none of the big tragedies, but it just, he just feels sad in yeah. his heart,
and he feels alone.
Grounds that comedy,
yeah,
yeah,
like he feels like completely really isolated in his own life.
Him, like before the accident, even
yeah.
him going home and like sleeping on this couch and just
yeah
in this
and
empty apartment.
He's never shown being involved in these coworker discussions. It's always shown him outside listening, like to these coworker mm-hmm. discussions, and it's never shown like him being, you know, praised to his face. It's just shown people saying to other, you know, other people like, yeah, he always, you know, he always helps us out. He always does this. Like, he's always so mm-hmm. professional. But no one ever actually says, you're doing a great job. Like,
yeah.
So it's really like the first two episodes really hammered home this concept that this man is alone. And he only has one friend that knows the truth about him. But his, mm-hmm. but it's also shown that this friend has like a very ill child in the hospital. So like, it's not like he can unload all of his sorrows yeah. on this guy, because this guy's in a worse situation than he is, like work-wise and also immediate family-wise. And so you get this real sense that this man is so alone and just, he needs someone on his side. Because the only person on his side is himself. Which I think is like a really great way to ground the comedy into a more realistic feeling situation yeah. than something like, you know, like, you know, like Liar Liar, for example, which also did drop on Netflix the same day, which I, you know, obviously was a marketing ploy by Netflix. But they are like, don't think that they're going to be remotely the same. Because
yeah,
they're not.
I really like when he has his first outburst in the first episode after he's been electrocuted, and he has his first outburst. It's at this idol
mm-hmm.
that
deserves he's
pissed
it.
Off with
deserves and who it.
Absolutely does. But the thing that I liked about what that showed about Go Kyung Pyo's character
mm-hmm.
is that this idol was never a dick to him.
No,
like. He overheard him being a dick to the people who he worked with
yeah.
and saying stuff about other people. And so he kind of wanted to punish him for that. But then in that moment, like the things that he says to him, they're all true things.
Mm-hmm.
And he's mad at him for looking down on the people who make money around him, who are yeah. wage earners, who are the low men on the totem pole. And you realize that's because of where he comes from,
yeah.
right? He sees you making fun of his family
yeah.
when you're making fun of people like, who have to work for a living.
He sees you, making know? Fun of his best friend who has a sick child. He sees you making fun of all the people who are working so hard, including himself, to make this show work that you are taking like absolute for granted, and just being rude and awful.
The fans, like yeah. he's mad on behalf of the fans. The fans love you. The fans yeah. give you things and care about you, and you should be a better person because of that. You should yeah. try to deserve their love instead of being a terrible.
Instead of being this,
like
yeah,
he's just mad at him, like yeah. for just,
and
you were just a terrible person. Stop being terrible.
And what I find so interesting about that scene is that nobody tries to stop him. Like none of this kid's staff are just, they're all just standing there going, yeah, exactly.
Hit him again for me.
Yeah, like, he doesn't actually ever hit him because the writer step, the female lead steps in. But, like, it's just, like, there's this moment that senses, like, that not, this might be a burden, what's happening to him, his very clear brain damage, but this is also a freedom for him to finally, mm-hmm. like, unburden all of everything that's been weighing him down and keeping him isolated. So I like the way that they're setting this up. I was very surprised at how much I liked the first two episodes of this show.
Me too. Like, really, like,
I was expecting to, like, enjoy it.
That there was more episodes out already. Yeah. And
I almost could. Amanda, same. It was like almost autoplaying. And I was like, no, Natalia, you can watch it after you're done recording. Natalia, put it away. Click the little X on the corner of your tablet, Natalia. Look away. I also really like Ju Jong Hyuk's character, who's posited as the second male lead. I'm really intrigued at where we're gonna find out what he did to mess up his relationship with the main female character, because he must have done something wild, because he seems like a nice guy who's very kind to his staff, very kind to his fans, just very hardworking, very dedicated to his job, but she wants nothing to do with him. She would rather claw out her own eyeballs than deal with him at this moment. And it shows, like, that they had a very happy relationship before he got famous. So I am really intrigued to see, what did he do?
Like, I kind of wonder, because he is presented initially as so good and so kind and so fun and sweet and all these things, but sort of as the more you see him, the more he kind of has that nice guy TM
disingenuous
vibe,
right?
Where I'm a nice guy. Why won't you go out with me? Why won't you talk to me? I'm just being nice here. Like, he kind of has that a little bit. But I also wouldn't be surprised if what we saw with him was that he is the flip side of the Go Kyung-pyo, like, character. Like, he also is very alone. He is very people-pleasing, but he's people-pleasing in a different
gregarious way,
outgoing way, right? But I wouldn't be surprised if they did something where the two of them wound up, you know,
being sort of like two friends, sides of the same coin, like,
when we get more of his story, but we shall see. Or he's going to be a, you know, surprise serial killer, because
I'm not a betting woman, but if I would, I feel like we may not be having that sort of show this time.
Well, I mean, it is only 12 episodes, so they don't need to throw one.
They don't need to fit one in somewhere, you know? Now, finally, I want to talk about the main female character, played by Kang Han-na, because she's also very interesting of a character. She, like, what I find is so interesting is that she's also sort of in the same boat as Go Kyung-pyo's character, where she works hard, and she goes above and beyond for her job, too, and it doesn't work out for her either. You know, she's... everything blows up. Everything that blows up on her show is completely outside of her response, like her ability to control, for anyone's ability to control. But she's the one who is blamed for it. And so her writing team is sent to the dregs of the writing studio to have to come up with a new show idea. Because she's in the variety department, she's a variety show writer. But she also feels like, because it was actually her fault what happened to him, like, it was legitimately,
she dragged him into that,
it was like
closet.
It wasn't intended, it was an accident. No, he didn't beat him over the head with an electrical outlet, but, like, it was her fault that he was there for that to happen. And so I feel, and she seems like a very responsible person, like, she's presented as hardworking,
responsible for her team and just wants to make quality, good content that people enjoy, and very all about her job. And so I find it really sort of like, but she does it in a much more like outgoing, like open way. Like, she's honest with the people on her team. She has friend, like people on at work are genuinely friends with her. She tries to like smooth over situations by being friendly and like giving and stuff, which is like different from him, because he only does, mm-hmm. he does things that just hurt him constantly. But like, he thinks they're for the greater good, where she's just trying to make everything go smoother. Mm-hmm. Not from a sense of, because I actually care that things go smoothly, but from the sense of, because my job and the jobs of my team are on the line.
Yeah.
So there's more of like a sense of urgency to her and responsibility to her. And I really like that. I think she's doing an incredible job. She always does. She's, every time I see her, I'm always like, ah, her. She's great. She's great.
Yeah.
So it's nice seeing her in like a, you know, a, mm-hmm. a lead role. I'm really genuinely enjoying the first two episodes of this.
Me too.
I'm like really, and
I really did not expect to like it as much as I am liking it. So
I thought it was gonna be fun. I thought I would be like, okay, mm-hmm. yeah, like I'll watch it because I watch everything, and I'll just be like, oh, huh, this is good. But like after the first two episodes, I was actually like really engaged mm-hmm. with it. Like, of course, mm-hmm. there's like, you know, the few slapsticky things that you're just like, oh, slapstick, whatever. But just not like my favorite sort of comedy. You know what I mean? But the show, like, really never goes over the line into the ludicrous. And so...
except for when you have the CGI fun stuff.
Well, yes, but that's just to, like...
those are hilarious. See, that's and just, I really enjoy those, too.
It's, like, it's silly, but it's silly in the same way that, like, the CGI in, like, oh, gosh, what was the show? It's also on Netflix. The fake relationship show. Oh my god, what is it called? I'm gonna listen.
I was gonna say, even like Attorney Woo with the like the sky whales and the whales that pop up in places. You know, she doesn't actually see, like, there's not really whales and stuff, but it's kind of that kind of vibe. They're using stuff around him to like sell sort of what's going on in his brain right now and the points, and it's just kind of fun. Like, I'm kind of digging the little
Business Proposal was the show I was thinking of.
Oh yeah, okay.
Where they use that CGI sort of like in concert with the comedy happening. Mm-hmm. Like when she said that his face looked like a archer, whatever dinosaur it was, and every time you would call, it would like pop up like his, you know, little, you know, that it's that sort of CGI addition that like just adds to the comedy but doesn't make it ridiculous. Like, it's just fun, you know. And I think like even though the show has like a real core of like this man is en route to be horribly depressed and alone his whole life, it doesn't steer too deep into that, at least in the first two episodes anyway, that the show becomes depressing in any way.
It's got a good balance.
Like,
where it could be super depressing, like you're looking at some of these things about him and it could go real dark, and it doesn't do that. Or it could go super silly and it doesn't do that either. It's finding a good balance.
It's almost like right when it starts to go too far into either direction, like the show brings it back to center for a little bit, so that you don't get like taken on like really wild roller coaster rides up and down. I'm like, so listen, we've only seen the first two episodes. We do this every time when we talk about this, where we do like a first two episode show. Like, there's only so much you can say in the first two episodes. And there's only so much you can predict. So, Amanda, do you have any predictions for what do you think is going to happen in this show? Which this will be fun to look back on later and be like, oh, let's see.
I feel like he's going to wind up being a like a variety show guy. Mm-hmm. Like that's going to be the new turn that his career takes. I don't think he's going to wind up on the like 9 o'clock evening news anchor position because he can't get it. I have a feeling it'll be one of those ones where it's like he gets offered it and he's like, no, that's not what I wanted.
Either that or you know what would be like a fun way? If he like turned it into sort of like he became sort of a punditry interviewer. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because that's mm-hmm. like, you know, just sort of like calling people out on just their nonsense because he just does that. That would be an interesting turn.
Mm-hmm.
I think where the show is clearly going, in my mind anyway, is that they're clearly him and the second male lead are going to be starring in her new variety show.
For sure.
You know what? I feel like that's probably going to happen in the next two episodes that we haven't, that are out at when we're recording this, but we haven't watched yet.
So some people are listening to this right now going, obviously.
But we only watched the first two episodes. We are not there yet. But, like, literally what's going to happen is we're going to finish watching this. I'm going to go take a shower, get in bed, watch it, and then text a man and be like, we knew it. I think that, like, his family's going to become more involved. I feel like the fact that he comes from a poor family is going to become, for some reason, a big scandal. Not because he actually lied about coming from a rich family, but just because everyone assumed he came from a rich family and he never corrected them, which, like, they're going to say he was lying. In the strictest possible sense, sure. But in the most technical of technical senses, he didn't. He just you believe what you wanted to believe, you know.
Did it help his career? Perhaps.
Maybe. But,
I don't know. And, you know, when it's like he lives in this fancy penthouse apartment that's his buddy's, you know, from college or whatever. Yeah. But it's like, you know, the first time he tells you he lives there is when you're all drunk leaving the bar. Oh, where do you live? I live over there.
He's not lying. He lives there.
But, like, you know.
It's like, he lives there because
him for something he said when he was drunk. Like, come on now.
And also, he sends all his money home. Like, clearly he's funding the light. Like, he's responsible financially for four adults. And also himself. He can't afford a nice place. Let's be honest here. I feel like that's going to become a big thing. Like, sort of.
Yeah.
Because you can already tell that one brother, like his oldest brother, really hates that he's successful. So I feel like that's going to probably come to blows at some point.
And there's a bit of a, I don't know, there's a bit of a vibe there that maybe he was bullied by that brother a bit as a child. Like, flinch more than you would expect. Yeah.
Or, like, maybe not bullied, but, like, they never got along. And just when like, you know, in real life, but especially in fiction, but even in real life, when you let sort of, like, these misunderstandings just pile up for years, it gets harder and harder to correct them, and resentment gets more and more and more, and then you don't have anywhere to go from there.
Well, and if you are the quiet, introverted sibling, and the other one is the loud, gregarious, you know, says what he means, the one may feel bullied where the other one's not trying to bully or, you know, like, and it just becomes worse and worse as you get older.
Yeah. It's so, like, you know, we're so
hopefully that will.
Yeah. Where it's like someone might say something that they think is just, they're just joking, but the other person really takes it to heart. Like that happens a lot, just sort of communication, miscommunication. So I feel like that's probably going to become quite a big, because, like, why spend all this time introducing these familial characters in a 12-episode show if you aren't going to then create, like, a real buff of tension? Mm-hmm. And it's, like, really interesting because when he does go home, they've filled up his bedroom is essentially a pantry. Mm-hmm. Like, it has a tiny little door and is literally a crawl space between walls that they've now filled up with storage. So he doesn't actually
have a home to go home to either. So I feel like that's going to be like a really, like, you know, his family has to sort of get their act together a little, because he's being very much taken advantage of by his family as it's presented right now. Mind you, we don't have all the information at two episodes. There could have been like a big horrible schism that happened. We don't know.
And the thing, like, I think his mother really does love him. Like, she really thinks he's a great kid. She's proud of him. She's, and where he sort of sees it as like, she only cares about me for the money that I give.
Yeah. For what I can do like for the, her. Yeah.
The conversation that you actually overheard was the younger brother saying, I want to ask him for more allowance this month. And her going, no, do not do that. We need the money to pay. Like, I still have to ask him for money to pay the bills this month.
Yeah.
Right. And that's comes across like, oh, we're just asking for money. She only cares about the money. But from her perspective, it's probably more like, listen, he's going through a rough patch. And we
can't
have to pay our rent.
Yeah, we can't add more onto him.
You don't need spending money. We need to pay for the lights. You know, like, like, just do not add to your brother's burden right now. Right? Is probably where she's coming from. But it's not, that's not how it feels to him right now in that moment, right? So I hope that there's some good moments some healing that happens.
I feel like his, the character that they're presenting wouldn't have landed as well with other actors besides Go Kyung Pyo, because he has sort of a real everyman vibe to him. Like, he, the vibe of Go Kyung Pyo isn't like, oh, what a devastatingly, like, listen, he is a handsome man. Do not take what I'm about to say out of context. I find him very handsome, okay? But he's not, like, drop dead and, like, you know, like, ravish me, yon rake. He has, a, like, a vibe of a nice guy to him. Like, he has, like, a rounder sort of face. And, like, they have him in these really sort of very dorky little
fluffy
straight hair. You know? And I feel like he used, like, as an actor, he uses that to his advantage in crafting these roles that are just, like, very relatable, very, like, you can... You know this guy. You know, he might not be a news announcer, but you have a friend who always does anything anyone asks him at work and is just really stressed all the time and just and is like one step away from burnout at every, you know, my husband in the other room. And so it's like, it's seeing this is like a very relatable sort of character that is nice to see as the male lead in a show. Because since he's the male lead in a rom-com, he will eventually come out on top, you hope. That's sort of how these things work, is that at the end of this show, he will have reached some sort of equilibrium with happiness in his life. Otherwise, why are we watching this?
This isn't
like a tragedy. No. This isn't like a mahjong. This is, you know, this is a rom-com. We want it to end
very solidly. Happily, rom-y, you know? And commy.
That's right. Like, and rom-coms can have sad moments in them. They can have tragedy and stuff. But you gotta end it not on that note. You, it's gotta end well. So I'm really excited to
end
see
it
like
on the high note.
I'm really excited to see what they throw at these characters. I'm really excited to see, like, where it goes. And I'm actually, like, there's no romance there yet. Like, in the first two episodes, there's nothing. Okay?
No.
Like, so, I'm really excited to see how they make this romance happen.
I'm wondering, the whole fact of him not having a bedroom back home and him getting kicked out of his apartment, are they going to be roommates? Are they going to odd couple him with the second male lead?
That's even better.
They're going to be roommates. So, you know, I just feel like we're going to get a roommate situation out of this, because why else would he get kicked out of his house? Unless Why roommate shaped if not roommate?
Like, you know. Now I hope this is like a really bizarre, like, side note here, but I don't know if they'll do it. Mm-hmm. But I kind of hope that they have like he's only listed as episode 1 and 2, so I feel like they're just gonna let this one go. But like the idol kid. Like, maybe, like, there's some sort of satisfying character arc where he actually becomes a better person. But on MDL, he's,
hoping for that.
He's only listed as episode 1 and 2, so that may not be happening.
They were going to stay on, like, after that first episode, I thought I could see them doing that thing, like, the Hyung storyline, right? Where, like, nobody ever talks to me like that.
Yeah.
And, oh, now I'm gonna, like... be a better person.
Try to improve
my life.
You're gonna
be my bro, you know? Like,
I feel like that's probably not. That would be too good for us. You know, we would enjoy that too much. They can't give us everything. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's true.
This is a very different situation, like, show vibe than the director's last show. Because her last show, female director, we love to see it. Her mm-hmm. last show was Nevertheless, which I have not yet seen, but I hear very different vibes from what I know about it. The writer has only written one other thing, and I haven't seen it, but it appears to be like it's an 8-episode NBC summer drama that called Chip In, which appears to be like very mellow, very mockjang, black comedy, infidelity, like mistresses, mother death.
Interesting.
So like very different vibes for like different. Both of the people like behind the scenes. Like two ladies, lady writer, lady director. We love to see it.
Nice.
So I'm like really, I'm very excited to see where this goes. I want to know more. I'm very excited to keep watching it.
I liked one of the little things that I liked that I wanted to mention was when he, after his accident and he can't keep things to himself and he just loses it on his buddy, who mispronounces a word in the show that he's going to do. And I found that scene very amusing because this symbol or the letter that the friend is mispronouncing is the Pyo. He's saying Po instead of Pyo.
Which is his name, yeah.
This vibe that this was like, something that was actually on this man's heart.
Yeah.
He was like,
I'm tired of this, old man. I'm tired of this. Yeah.
My name is Pyo, not Poe. Like, you just had this vibe that, like, to get out at some point.
As someone named Natalia, who people call Natalie all the time, the vibe.
You feel it?
I'll be like, oh, it's actually with an A. It's Natalie, but mm-hmm. with an A.
Natalia.
So I feel you, my guy. I feel you.
Yeah, my maiden name, last name, was mispronounced constantly, and you'd be like, it follows the rules of English. The E at the end makes the vowel in the middle long, not short. It's right there. But
before my parents got married, I had a last name that was also mispronounced by everyone. It had a hard G, and everyone would pronounce it with a soft G, and I'd be like, "It's guh, it's guh." So like, be like, "No, it's not J, it's guh." So I, you know what, I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand.
Yeah.
And then I just changed my last name to something easy to say. I was just like, I'm taking my mom's maiden name and my dad's last name. Let's get out of here and hyphenate this bitch and move on with our day. I can't do this. I can't do this anymore.
I was in When I was in college, we got divided for my one class into tutorial groups of like 10 people alphabetically. So the group that I was in was like V through Z. Yeah. And we had this like teacher who, I can't remember what book we're talking about. And she says like, oh, well, you know, feminism, women shouldn't take their men, husband's names, you know, like, okay,
that's fine.
Whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, but she's like, how many people in this room are going to take their, you know, how many of you girls are going to take your husband's name? All of us put our hands up. We're all like, no, we're literally looking for Smiths in this family.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
tired of having to tell people how to pronounce my goddamn name.
She, like, oh, she just goes like.
And you're like, oh, but it's not for the reason you think.
And then like one of the guys is like, ma'am, I got to stop you right here. All of us guys are also looking for Smiths. We're also
taking our wives' names. Don't worry. We're also going to be taking our husband's last names. Don't worry about it.
We're all looking for the first half of the alphabet for something that you could spell. Like, I think this guy's name started with a Z and like 26 letters and two of them were vowels, you know, yeah. Like that kind of a last name. And he was like, oh no, ma'am. Like, I am ditching this as soon as I can too. Like, this is not feminism. This is
just realism right now.
Who can pronounce my name?
No, like I would listen, when I graduated and they called my name, the principal managed to mispronounce every single one of my names. And one of my names is Marshall.
Like, how?
Every single one. Like, she really put, like, a real zesty little spin on it. And I just remember, like, looking at her, like, why? Why would you?
How? And why? And
why have you done this? Why? Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's just us chatting about, This new show on Netflix, Frankly Speaking, which I'm really excited to keep watching. Hopefully this may have helped other people decide if they want to start watching or just like hanging out with us. Welcome to. If you want to keep hanging out with us, we do new episodes every Monday, pretty much. And they can be found wherever podcasts can be found. They can also be found on our YouTube channel in video. And if you want all like the links and time codes to everything we talk about, you can go to certifiednewness.com, our website where we have every single episode we've ever done with links to all the shows. Some, you know, listen, the older the episodes, the more likely those shows have been taken off the streaming services, but like, we do our best. Anyway, if you want to support this podcast, like all of our incredible found family, you can go to patreon.com/certifiednewness and join the found family. We have little mini episodes that go up there. We have a movie night every month. We have just fun stuff. And we love our found family so much. We just think they're the best. They're the best in the whole world. Anyway, we will see you next week. It'll be us again. Coming to talk about something new. Anyway, we hope you have a great week. As always, please care for yourself and your immunocompromised brethren, such as myself, and wear a mask and wash your hands, and keep enjoying Asian entertainment. Bye.
Bye.